All right, let's kick it up on our national hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. And let's take it live and in studio with Luke Gastic, Sportsnet hockey analyst, former NHLer, and now one of the busiest guys at the network. Welcome in, Luke. How are you, pal?
Great. Thanks for having me, boys.
You good?
You need an energy bar or something?
I just had my Timmy's up on the second floor. Shout out Timmy's, free ads. But no, I'm good. Thanks, buddy.
You guys are working tonight.
We are.
So you've got we've got two games on tap. Games. It was a busy night in the National Hockey League last night with 10 games. Mm-hmm. Kind of calmed down a little bit with Vancouver and Boston, Utah and Montreal, and then it kicks back up on Wednesday. I assume this is all thanks to our friends south of the border for U.S. Thanksgiving.
Good chance.
Yeah. Good chance. Lots
of noise, including general manager Patrick Alvin making a comment today about JT Miller. And it doesn't sound like they expect him anytime soon, but clearly we talked about in our Leaf Hour certain distractions out there, contract talks, but this one has to be something that Vancouver fans are kind of on the edge of their seat. When will they see their star winger back?
Yeah, and I don't mean to suck the air out of the room at all, but I certainly have had my struggles on the mental side. Retiring in the middle of a pandemic for me was not ideal. That was one part of it. And you know, throughout my career, it was something I had to deal with. So first and foremost, I really hope, you know, he has a good support system around him, friends, family, whatever it may be, inner circle, because that's one that hits close to home for me. And I think the bravest thing you can do is step away and say, I need help. And that's exactly what he did. And all the power in the world to him. And I truly hope he, you know, he gets through and we see him back here at some point. He is like the heartbeat of their squad. Mm-hmm. I feel like him and Quinn, covering them on a regular basis, anytime they need big play, big hit, big fight, big goal, it's always JT. And they've seemed to kind of rally around him. I thought they did a great job on Saturday in Ottawa. They have multiple guys stepping up. Sherwood, Pettersson starting to play some better hockey. Jakey DeBrusk has come along. Now all three of those guys are playing on a line. They were excellent on Saturday. So I'm sure they're trying to rally around that point and feeling for JT in the moment right now.
Yeah. The general manager, Patrick Alvin, spoke with Ian McIntyre of Sportsnet and said, first and foremost, I'm very proud of JT seeking help. I don't know if he said it, but I believe he's going to be a better person, better teammate, and better hockey player when he returns. We sure miss him. Impactful player. I think we have, and the league has all the right support to help him. So that's good for him. So he's going to be out an undetermined amount of time, but Besser's coming back.
Yep.
Pettersson's playing well, you mentioned. DeBrus starting to come around. Where do you got this Canucks team? Is this a team that can get back to the top of the Pacific Division?
Not right now. I think Demko's a huge part in that, trying to figure out what's going on there injury-wise at some point. I do love that there's internal guys that have really stepped up their game. Mm-hmm. I know we've talked about Sherwood a lot. I've talked about Sherwood a lot. I love talking about former teammates. He's a guy I spent 2 years with in the minors at the beginning of his career. And to see 5 years later having the success he's had, it's unreal to see stuff like that. Yeah. But for them, I watch a team on Saturday that finally played the right way for the first time in a couple games that I've seen them play a full 60. Goaltending might be an issue here along the way, but I think they're going to be just fine. Like they're right there on the edge, and once they have a couple of their big guys back, they're going to be just fine.
What would you do now with Brock Besser? Let's just assume that he's back and he looks a lot like he did last year as a legit 40 goal scorer. Like, where do you think Vancouver is on Brock Besser moving forward, because he will be an unrestricted free agent, and the urgency to get this guy signed, sealed, and delivered?
I think he's controlling that narrative right now. It'll be interesting to see how he plays without JT. That's a guy he's played with for the majority of his time there the last little bit. Looks like he's going to slide onto the right side with Suter and Heinen. I thought they might switch Suter and Bluger, because that Bluger-Garland-Joshua line has played so good before. power play is going to be his strength. Their power play needs to get going. He'll be a guy always in that bumper spot. But I think he's going to control the narrative here a little bit. I'm excited to see what Brock shows, right? Is he a guy that can drive his own line? Is he a guy that can step up in the absence offensively? Because they need him. If they want to have any success, he's a huge part of that.
Anything else on Vancouver before I turn the page?
No, we're good.
Talk about your Edmonton Oilers.
Yep.
This year, they currently sit 1 point ahead of the Vancouver Canucks, but they've played three more games, -5 goal differential.
Yep.
Feels like a team that for years was like, it's Connor and it's Leon, and it's like, is there enough around them to get them to where they need to be? It felt like they found it for a while last year. Are we kind of right back to where we've been?
Yeah, I think so. Honestly, it feels like they're getting offense from two guys. Saturday was the outlier, which is nice. You need games like that every once in a while,
yeah,
where Nurse steps in and Pod Colson gets his first, and you get scoring up and down the lineup. But yes, preliminarily, it's been two guys. And that's not sustainable, right? It's a tough way to play hockey for the entire year. I think it floats throughout the lineup in the sense that Connor and Leon drive and everyone kind of follows. But man, that's a tough way to play hockey for a long time. I think that third line that they really had going last year towards the end of the year, Henrique, Janmark, Brown, got to give them a little more offense. Got to start getting some from the back end because it's only so much those two big boys can do, right? They have them on opposite lines right now, which I think is a good thing. Drive your own.
Yep.
But for the time being, they need to find some scoring throughout their lineup.
And so Jeff Skinner not been as good as hoped. And Sperry Kapanen just played the one game.
Jeff, to me, he's bringing good energy. I'll say that. It's just a little too perimeter right now. And that's with a lot of their team. You'll hear it so much. Louis loves talking about it, playing on the inside. But, man, it is just a lot of perimeter hockey, I will say, excluding Saturday. Saturday, I think they did a good job of driving the net. They want to get cutesy sometimes, right? They want to get a little fancy and make that one extra pass. If they have a 3-on-2 or a 2-on-1, any odd man rush, it's always one more look. It's so much deference. I even saw that on the power play early. It's like open looks left, right, and center, and they're deferring. I could never understand deferring in an NHL game, not shooting the puck. Shoot. Everything was gone. I didn't get too many minutes, but everything was going off my stick and at the net. So I think that's just one of the bigger things, especially a guy like Jeff. Like, they need guys like this on the outside of those two to at least start finishing, you know?
We're joined by Luke Gazdick, Sportsnet analyst, in studio on the Real Kipper and Bourne show. So, Luke, where are you in terms of this blue line? Because I know Skinner has his plays dropped.
Yeah.
But it might have a lot to do with a weaker blue line than the one that ended for him Game 7. So where are you on this blue line? And can this blue line get them back to where they were?
Not in this current state. I think they do need some help. And I think they need to defend a little harder, to be honest. I see too many nights where opposing teams get in front of the net way too easy. Not boxing out. Simple things like not boxing out, defending rushes at the line. I think a lot of those things can improve, but they should go get a guy at some point. Mm-hmm. I think they need someone that can play both sides, depending on what way he shoots. You know, Mike Matheson's a guy I'm going to talk about on Hockey Central tonight, who I've been watching a lot in Montreal that I'm a big fan of. Someone that's mobile, that can move. Think of guys like Cam Fowler and Anaheim is another one. I just think they could use someone to slot in on a second pair behind Bush and Ekholm that can drive the play a little bit, bring the play up, create a little bit of offense, and can also defend. I think they have about three. They're trying to have probably three guys do the job of one right now. And that's nothing against Ty Emberson and Travis Dermott and Josh Brown, who just came up, but they're trying to find a guy to do that. And it looks like they're extending it to multiple guys. They've tried going 11-7, which I never liked as a player. It's it's a tough rotation, but I do think they need some help back there.
So if we're going to take it around Canada, you mentioned that Montreal team. Are they really going to willingly get worse, trade players off that roster? Like, what is happening there? Have you ever played for a team where it's just felt like you have no chance to win?
Yeah, it's a team that I've covered for the last couple weeks now. Two hockey nights in a row, they've been my game that I've had to clip and analyze. And it's two things for me. It's personnel, they're young, inexperienced, right? They're young guys aren't playing an incredibly good brand of hockey right now. But it's also the system that they're playing. Like, Marty asks a lot of those guys. They play a hybrid in zone, which is more like a man-to-man. So you have Mattson and Gouley running around trying to chase Jack Eichel and Barbashev on Saturday, Connor and Leon on the Monday. Man-to-man is hard to play in today's NHL. And that's just one aspect of their system that is incredibly hard that I see. By the time they get outs, they get to the red line, it's a dump in and there's no offensive zone pressure at time. They just, it's a tough brand of hockey to watch right now. And I feel for it because you can tell they're working. They're just not working smart. Feel for guys like Slaff. Like, Slaff's taking some major regression right now. It's just not a great particular brand of hockey right now.
Do you put some of that on the coach, that the first overall pick is struggling?
At that age, it's hard to.
Yeah.
He's 20.
Yeah,
guys.
So young.
20.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's 240 pounds. I feel like it takes a while to learn how to use a machine that big.
Yeah.
You would know.
Yeah, I hear you. I played at 245, but.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't nearly as good as Slaff, though.
Are you okay, though, in terms of, like, I like Nick Suzuki a lot. I just don't know if he, when you're contending for the Stanley Cup, is this your number one breakout kind of game-changing guy? Is Cole Caulfield your number one winger on a contending Stanley Cup team?
I mean,
where does anyone else fit? Like, is Montreal, to me, still needs
the top end,
a superstar,
yeah,
a franchise type of superstar. Nick Suzuki's
coming back.
It's not that sailed a long time ago. I hope he can come back, and I hope he can score some goals. But I think it's still missing, Gaz.
Yeah, and I hear you. Like, Vegas on Saturday exposed that to a T. Like, a team that's deep, big, heavy, skilled, plays the right way. It was like watching, I feel like I'm being tough on them, but it was like watching a team in a different league. Stacked down the middle, a team that loves to hunt the puck and possess it, and it was just a clear indication of how far away they still are.
Ugly. Ugly in Montreal. The fourth line tonight, I believe, is Slafkovský, Armia, and Doc.
Ooh.
So,
and I like Doc, but someone told me a long time ago this guy is a third line guy.
That was his ceiling.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, is like, when you're not a good team, you put these guys in positions that they're not ready to handle and they end up struggling, and it's like they were never quite meant to be in that spot anyway. So, it's fairly bleak. I did want to ask you about changing coaches and what it does for a team and a room, the Boston Bruins. You've had some different coaches?
Yeah, I've had a couple. Let's go.
So, you're going to say something?
Well, can we just stay with one more for love in Canada before we maybe move Calgary?
Yeah,
yeah, let's talk
and
about
you, the Flames. You just talked about a coach.
Yeah.
And they've got a good one.
I played for Ryan Huska.
And oh, did you?
Yeah.
They've got some good young talent here. And, yeah, they lost to Ottawa last night. But... like, how do we not go, come on, guys, quarter pole here, and they're right in the thick of things.
Yeah, I mean, you've expected some regression at some point, but A, they worked their tails off. They're probably one of the best conditioned teams in hockey. 17-18 in the minors in Stockton, California. What a year. played for Ryan Huska, Cale McLean, who's on their bench as well. Mm-hmm. Eye in the Sky runs their penalty kill. Both extremely detailed, meticulous guys, but it's tough days. Husk expects a lot from you, especially the older guys on the team, the vets on the team. I remember him calling me on my way down from Calgary and him explaining to me how he was going to lean on me early and our veteran core, which was Cody Golubev, Colby Roback. And we had a couple good vets on that team, but practices were hard. Days were hard at the rink. Lots of video, but he is also a really good communicator and just a good dude. Mm-hmm. Like, I really struggle. Talk about mental health. That was a year where living far away from home, I don't want to say I didn't particularly want to be there, but it's a tough city to play in. Mm-hmm. And he was the guy that was always, you know, keeping it in check for me and you know, checking in and making sure I was good. I have a lot of time for Ryan Huska, and there's a reason that team is having some success right now.
How much do you think they're helped by having no pressure, basically? Like, no one expects him to win any game.
100%. And, like, look at a guy like Dustin Wolf finally starting to make some saves, but there's guys in there that are just playing, big smiles on their faces, Justin Kirkland and Ryan Lomberg and talk about the opposite of Montreal. That's a brand of hockey I can get behind right now.
Right.
Just one more thing on Calgary, and just ultimately, yes, great success, but big picture stuff here. And how tough of a decision will it be for Craig Conroy going into the new year, going into the trade deadline? Ultimately, what do you do with Rasmus Anderson, who's got another year left on his deal, or Kadri, or, you know, some of these type of players that are, when it turns, are they there? Are they not there? Would you try to sell high now? Like, how much of a split is it between?
It's a good question.
Not giving up and protecting the future.
Yeah, it's a good question. Raz is another guy that was there in the minors with us that year that has absolutely just taken off. One of the most talented defensemen I've seen. You put that guy in a 3-on-3 overtime, it's game over. I think that's a question for them, A. You sit him down and say, like, do you want to be here? Do you want to be a part of this? Mm-hmm. When we start turning this thing around, do you want to be a part of that? And you see what the answer is. If I'm one of them, I think I'd love to be there. Things starting to turn eventually here in Calgary, but you got to figure out if the guy wants to be there first and foremost. They're going to be in a similar situation to last year. I just feel like they're going to hang around for as long as they can. And at the end of the day, especially a guy like Naz, like you got to figure out where his heart is, where his intentions are, because if they're not there 100%, then I don't think you want him around, right?
Just feels like that's a team you're on. If you are a guy who's happy to be in the league or you're looking for more opportunity, but like if, I got to imagine Kadri's got his money. He'd like to win another cup. He'd like to be.
He's a really interesting one for me just because there's so much left on the deal. Right? And Calgary, I don't think is going to want to retain anything.
I don't think.
Kip doesn't think
I know.
Have
I know he's to. I don't not think having they have a great year, but I don't think they need to retain on a potential trade for him.
Nor they shouldn't. And that's where I'm at.
I agree with you.
With the amount left on the term, I don't think they should have.
At that point, though, guys, you're giving him away. You're not getting an asset back. You're just saying take the contract.
I disagree. I think he's got Stanley Cup pedigree. He's proven that he can come in and play behind a star like Nathan MacKinnon.
Oh, I think
the cap is going up.
Yeah, but right? He's 34.
I still think he can put a team like that over the edge.
I think a type of guy like that can give you high end till 37.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
38 maybe.
And he'd be good back in Denver, actually. That's not a bad spot, to be honest.
And what do you think are potential landing spots?
Our Doug McClain last Friday said that he had heard that the Leafs, but, you know, it's Brett Tree living, man.
Yeah.
He kicks the tires on everybody.
But Tree also tried to trade for Kadri for TJ Brody when he was there. He's tried to get Kadri before.
There you go.
So you know he likes him.
For sure. I just don't know how much business the Flames are going to be doing with the Leafs.
It doesn't seem like much.
We need another hour.
You know what sucks, though?
It's like,
okay, so the Leafs can't do business with them, but then there's also like, you're not going to trade with Montreal. Boston's not going to do it.
Nobody. You have a short window.
But the list of teams that want to trade to the Leafs is like...
There's 31 other teams.
No, there's not. You go through the list, there's like nine teams that want to trade with them.
You got to find somebody.
You would think.
You want to talk Boston?
Yeah, I just want to talk about... You know, they've won two games since they made the coaching change. And is it one of those things where it's like the new coach bump? What does that mean?
It's a completely new slate for players is how I love to explain it. For a guy like me who was playing on the fourth line, it's a new set of eyes. And the entire thing about a player-coach relationship is trust. Mm-hmm. Can that coach trust to put you on the ice in the situations that he wants you to? Whether it's 5-on-5, whether it's killing penalties. And you build that up over time with your guy. So you have X amount of years with him. New guy comes in, doesn't know much about you, probably seen you play, but you have to rebuild that entire trust. And I think you get the best out of players early in those situations. I think guys tend to get a little complacent in situations where you just start to show up to the rink and it's Groundhog Day, one after another. It gives you a real spark. I remember my only midseason NHL one, but mine was interesting too, because Craig McTavish was our GM. He fired Dallas Eakins on, like, call it a Monday. And brought up Todd Nelson from Oklahoma City, but Mac T wanted to oversee the process. So he was on the bench as well for the first 2 weeks.
Now your GM's on the bench.
So now our GM's on the bench. So now it's extra. And I'm like, oh boy, we had an unreal conversation like 2 days after he told me it was the worst game he'd seen me play. I love Mac T, pure honesty. He's one of my favorite guys in hockey. But then it ended up being the Todd Nelson show. And I thought he did a great job with us. I thought he got the short end of the stick. They ended up winning the draft lottery, hired Todd McClellan instead. But yes, right when you have a new guy in there, there's that little bit of bump just because I think you're getting the best from everybody.
Quarter pole, haven't dealt with too many controversial plays, but you've been a part of a couple, including Ryan Reeves on Darnell Nurse, White Cloud on Hughes, and the latest one that really bothered me was the Quinn Hughes being ejected on Norris.
Before Gaz goes, what did you think of that? You didn't like that call or the head of the play?
If I'm paying $200 and I watch Quinn Hughes get thrown out on that play, I'm pissed.
Well, I said
guy is worth my ticket. I don't want, not on that play. Yeah. I'm sorry, not on that play.
Yeah, I know. And you know what? That's what the rule states. So as soon as there's a cut, an injury, blood, that's why the majors is determined. I don't love it. That play happens 15 to 20 times a night.
So often,
not
guys
even
get
hit from behind.
Yeah, it's
but
just
like a little
ready
push.
For it. And they
sometimes
know
they're leaned over. Yeah. To be honest, though, Kip, White Clouds, Reeves, you see more and more of it. I just think
I disagree. I think we've seen so less and less of it. I do. I think.
But I think he means guys not being prepared to be hit.
Is
that what you're talking about?
Guys not being prepared to hit, but I think guys have less respect for each other in the game, to be honest. Sometimes I see that. I really didn't like Revo's. That was one that.
Well, he picked the head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Before he got to the left side of the body, he picked the head.
The White Claw one was different. I will say, though, that being up there, I'm learning all this stuff in real time, too.
Isn't
it
so hard, though?
It's crazy. So as soon as it happens, we're calling the situation room, we're watching replays, and, I don't want to talk about the consistency. It's just I don't really know what to expect. Once there's a hit, I'm watching TV, and listen, I know this is our job. We get paid for this, but we are up, and for the Reeves one and for White Cloud, these are within the last couple minutes of the period, so we're walking to the desk.
But I hear
replays are in my ear, and I have to get on TV and opinionate a concise answer in real time and stick with it. And I'm not looking for sympathy here. I'm just saying that can be challenging because there's some times where I'm watching it, and then I watch the replay on the desk, and I'm like,
did you disagree with your own analysis later?
I usually stick with it. The White Cloud one was the one that I kept going back and forth on a little bit. I still, to the day, don't love it. They say, he didn't leave his feet on impact, but he ends up in the Leafs bench. He ends up jumping off his feet.
He's on the way.
He has his head down the whole way, which I don't like. But
people don't realize how difficult it is to see something and then go on air.
Yeah.
What I think of this.
But
yet.
Exactly.
But, you get more reps underneath you. You go through it a couple of times and you just.
There's also an emotion part to it for me is I played that way and I love the physical side of the game. I love that Zach Whitecloud, there's guys like Zach Whitecloud in the league that are still keeping guys accountable for keeping your head up and putting your head down in the neutral zone.
I don't think there's many guys that know how to do it anymore.
Exactly.
Throw that hit.
So I like that there's guys that still make that hit. I that's the way I played, but. The guys are so big and so strong these days that it's insane.
It's so hard to be so precise. And if you can't hit a guy in the head down who has his head down in the neutral zone while you're backing up, to me, it's who could be hit then? I don't know.
Listen, I took a lot of pride. 11 years, I had 176 fights, but zero fines and zero suspensions. There's a way to play. You can avoid a lot of that stuff. And that's when I see headshots, not saying there's intention, but. Or maliciousness, but there's certainly a way to evade stuff.
So when you play that type of role, and Kit, maybe you can speak to this too, people know that you're tough, you're willing to fight. How often do you encounter off the ice someone wants to show you, or in a rec league game, they want a piece, they want to show you? Because Paul Bissonnette just had to fight a bunch of guys. Do you guys ever have anyone off the ice be you're a tough guy, are you?
Yeah, and that's when I go, check, please.
I'm done with this.
I'm out. I'm done.
I had to leave the voluntarily leave the Adult Safe Hockey League here in Toronto. It was just getting to be too much. York A on Tuesday nights asked some guy trying to get me to go at 11 o'clock on rink two. Like, I'm saying no.
Yeah.
But I, you know what? Truth be told, I had a similar incident to Biz early in my career down in Austin, Texas.
Really?
I said the wrong thing to a guy at a bar in a bathroom line, and I ended up in an emergency room, you know, spitting out my teeth. And I think, you know, there's a fine line outside. I'm the least confrontational person ever.
Right.
Well, when it comes to outside the rink,
it's hard sometimes because your ego and your pride can make bad decisions for you, or you just make the most sound decision, and that is get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
Because I never liked fighting. Fighting's not fun.
No.
If you say fighting is fun, you're a nut job. I never loved doing it. It was a job, and as soon as I got off the ice, it was the last thing I was thinking of.
Yeah. It's funny, my dad's played, I know he got into it, people in, like, charity events. You're playing a charity hockey game or whatever, and some guy on the, you know, Guns and Hoses team is chopping at your ankles. Like, what am I doing this for?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
That's my philosophy when I go on the ice. You want the puck that badly? Take
it. It's yours.
Take it. Go. Go until your heart's content.
You got it. Bench.
Luke, great stuff, man. Have a great call with my buddy here on tonight's game, and thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, anytime, fellas.
Thanks, Gasp.
Luke Gazdick. And when we return, we'll get Sammy back in the chair. Maybe we'll go around the league a little bit on our news and notes and get our thoughts on the quarter poll.
You know, the pedantic people are going to fight you on that. You have to say the quarter mark.
Why?
Because the quarter pole is the final quarter of a race.
Of a race.
I know. Right. I hate it. I'm just telling you, people are thinking it out there. I'm sorry. I hate myself for having said it.
All right. And he's not even the producer of the show, and he's telling me what to do. That and more when we return. Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. Get a little bit of news and notes coming back. As a reminder, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Were you surprised that Patrick Alvin spoke of JT Miller and using the word help?
Yeah, a little bit. I guess just because it...
Would you like me to read the quote?
We JB
he did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have sound of him talking about it, do we?
No, it was a little aside.
I kind of found it strange at this point to use the word help.
What about that seems strange?
Not that he used it. Mm-hmm. The timing of it. That we've gone like this long since he's been gone.
Right.
And there's been like no follow-up, just he's gone, and it's personal, and then they can kind of leave it alone. And then just now we get more insight on the term help.
Yeah, the article from Ian McIntyre, you spoke to JT's agent who didn't have a comment but said that they appreciated the thoughtfulness of Alvin's statement. So to me, that's confirmation. You know, obviously, Alvin's statement is as well that this is what's happened.
Yeah, and he's in some sort of rehab.
Well, I don't know that.
Well, I mean, help is...
Maybe you're seeing a therapist.
That's a form of rehab.
Whatever. Okay.
I mean, I'm splitting hairs.
Sure.
But he's
rehabilitation.
Some sort of
not
rehabilitation.
Like a house or a place like... Right. Like people go, a rehabilitation.
That's, yeah, exactly. Okay. I'm not insinuating that it's for specific...
Right.
Substance abuse or whatnot. That's not what I'm saying. But help means that you're seeking professional rehabilitation, if that's the term. I'm just wondering, like, if you were going to kind of go down that path, maybe, you know, you would have used it earlier. That's just my...
Used it earlier as the player? Or or the phrasing from the team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, it's common for the NHLPA to put out a statement usually when someone does that, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And to the point where I think at that point you could seek relief off your salary cap as well. I think they're...
You know, I think, Kip, that there are some personal situations that are hard, that are really tough, that you just can't say to the world. And, you know, there's some cases where you probably got to protect the player who's got something going on in their life.
I don't believe that we're entitled to any type of news at all on it. I really don't. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if you're going to go out of your way to absolutely give nobody anything in terms of information, and we've gone through that with Austin Matthews. Just disappears day to day. You're on a need to know basis, and right now you don't need to know. And then he's off to Germany, and then Tree Living has to catch up to that news, right? So he's chasing it a little bit.
Tree Living has to catch up to that news.
Well, Brad Tree Living, a few days ago, met the media and said that he's on his way to Germany.
Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't have known before he...
Oh, he knew.
Yeah.
But he also knew that it was coming out because he knew Elliot had the story.
Right.
So he decided to go to the media. And
how was there not one... like? Come on, Leafs Nation. How is there not one person that got a picture of him getting on a commercial flight? It's insane. Anyways.
It's interesting because, like, what does... You know, professional sports leagues now are tied to betting sites. And they're also people are put a lot of money into this as fans and season ticket holders. Is there some obligation for a guy like Matthews? I don't think in Miller's case, but in Matthews' case, is there some obligation for the PR to not leave a vacuum,
I'm really surprised that the league has made this commitment to betting and there isn't some sort of push on them to absolutely come clean on injuries.
Just because other leagues, the NFL in particular, is like, you know, his left wrist.
Yeah.
The tendon sheath.
Knee.
Has been, yeah.
Ankle.
Like, they're really crystal clear on it, aren't they?
Yeah, you get a report, like, on Fridays, I think it is.
And that's based on just the mere fact that...
their practices, and then it goes into the weekend.
But the basis is that there's no funny stuff when it comes to laying your bet.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Part of it, yeah.
Well, I mean, they've always kind of done it that way, but I think it's more... I would say that gambling is much more synonymous with the NFL than it is the NHL,
yeah,
but, you know,
sure.
NHL.
If you could have that clarity or refs come out and talk after the game and explain calls, which would you pick?
I've always said this. I hate the refs explaining calls because it's not going to solve anything.
No, it just pours gasoline.
Exactly. Like, you're going to have this guy come out here, and it's not like the fans are going to get to be like, hey, bozo, how'd you call that hook in the second? It's going to be, he's gonna be like, yeah, well, yeah. I saw it that way. It was a fast game, and I made that decision. And then I wasn't happy, and the ref just looks dumb.
Yeah, you're never going to have a guy say a thing that happens a lot, which is, I didn't see it.
Yeah.
What you're not going to get is, okay.
Yeah, all right.
The ref changes mind.
You know, with a little more time.
You know,
I wish I hadn't made that
John
call.
And Maple, you were right about that call against the Leafs. You were right. And having said that, all that gambling talk. It's game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Only two games tonight, but one on the network. The Vancouver Canucks are in Boston to take on the Bruins. Actually, a really good hockey game here.
Oh, yeah.
With love these two teams playing. Always makes you think of
just
that final.
Just get smoked tonight.
Yeah, like they had two pretty middling results against two bad teams. They won 1-0 against Utah and 2-1 over Red Wings, right? So they haven't had any real tests since Joe Sacco took over. So this is the first one. I would say that I do like the Canucks tonight. I think they're getting Besser back. There's the talk of, Demko coming back. It feels like they're starting to get a little bit more healthy. Mm-hmm. I like the Canucks tonight, and they're plus 100, so they're a bit of an underdog. The other game tonight is the Utah Hockey Club in Montreal. I have no idea who's going to win this game.
Is it not Utah?
I guess it's Utah, but I mean, I saw that team on Sunday night. They didn't have a ton. I don't know. They're better than Montreal. They're -135. If you wanted to do a Vancouver Canucks and Utah Hockey Club parlay, it plays +248 for the two games tonight. So that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
+238, I'm betting that.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to have some fun here going around the league.
Before we do.
Mm. Okay, I have a before we do, too.
Oh, we're never going to get to the things then. What do you got?
The St. Louis thing, Martin St. Louis thing.
Yeah.
Gaz talked about the actual system they play.
Yeah.
He's got them playing, a hybrid, which low in the zone means they're man on man. So you got the youngest decor in the history of the league, maybe. They're a bunch of playing man on man. chasing guys around.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Like, it's hard sometimes to, like, have layers and stuff, but they need help. They need help defense. They can't just, you just can't say, yeah, hey, chase around the league's best guys.
And that always exposes you in front of the net.
It does. You're just chasing. And, yeah, you got Gouley and Barron and Hudson and, you know, Jack Eye. It's, that's tough, tough sledding for those D.
Okay.
Can I do like I do like that Matheson, and he mentioned him. I that guy flies. Go ahead.
you trading for Matheson?
I like Matheson. Not with the Leafs. I think the Leafs decor, that's not a part of the...
I didn't say anything about the Leafs. Why do you always go to default?
Because
Leafs?
I'm a Leaf fan. That's why I'm here. So then you're like, am I? And then I usually
like to do that on a national show.
Yeah, too bad. So if I'm the Oilers, am I trading for him? Yes. Of course. Like, no question.
He'd be a game changer for the Edmonton Oilers.
He's a big game changer for them.
Both Skinners.
Both Skinners? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, one more for me, and then we can move on. Okay. Because we did talk about him briefly. He's going to be back in the lineup. Brock Besser. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cannot have a Mitch Marner conversation without having a Brock Besser. If you're the Vancouver Canucks, mm-hmm, what do you pay him to stay?
So Brock Besser is off a 40-goal season. He's just 27 years old. And he's making 6.65. And is that next year as well, or is he...
No, he's a UFA.
UFA, baby.
He is not Mitch Marner. Not even close. He is not the 200-foot PK. His ice time this year is...
You're just loving Mitch Marner right now. You just got to stop it. It's giving me the willies.
He's 17.08 TOI. Jesus. And I just... You know, I don't think you want to get tied in for, you know, $80 million to Brock Besser, do you? I mean, maybe you do. 10 times 8, is that?
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
Is he under that?
And I'm totally with you. He's not that.
I don't know, though. Like, I don't know. Like, the cap going up,
but the
it really throws a wrench into all this
stuff. The problem for me with him is health. So last year he played 81 games and scored 40. His previous years... Like, it drops pretty good. He's got years where he's 62, 69, 57, 56. You know, well, 56 is the shortened season, but he just hasn't always been healthy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though. We're talking about a 28-year-old?
27.
Even younger.
Yeah. That's, and actually, now that I say that, two of those seasons are pandemic-related, he's pretty healthy.
Hey, he is right in the wheelhouse right now for the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get better by getting rid of good players.
I'm not. Thank you. I'm not letting this guy go because I cannot. They're not easy. You can't find them easily.
Right.
Right? So I got to pay him. I got to just come to the fact that I can't go and easily find another guy like that. So I got to dig down deep here. But I think,
what do you think then? What's the number you got?
I think, 8.
You just...
8.5.
We know. 8.85. Is that what you said? Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an important piece of what they got going on. Right?
All right. That's it. I just want to make sure that we can agree on a signing. I think we're there.
I
think we're there.
Handshake.
Distance handshake.
So I'm not supposed to say quarter pole awards.
No. Sorry. Quarter mark.
Quarter mark. Yeah. Okay.
Horse racing related.
Down the stretch we come.
That's we're gonna do some quarter mark awards, and we're going to do, I think, the big four: Hart, Vezina, Norris, Jack Adams. Those are the big four.
Okay.
Those are the good ones, the sexy ones. Unless you want to pour over some defensive metrics for the Selke, then I'll let you have that. But all right, we'll start with the big one first. The Hart Memorial Trophy to this point of the season.
Kippy, you'd like to lead us off?
I get the excitement on Kirill the Thrill in terms of a team that I didn't see coming.
Yeah.
So he's in my mix. This Nakash.
Yeah.
Like, when you are leading the league in scoring, you got to get the name right, right?
I think it's Natchez.
Natchez?
Nakash?
I'm willing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll work with him if he leads the league, for sure.
If he's... I got to think that he's right up there I think, yeah, you can easily go back to the McKinnons of the world, yeah, and even Leon's up there with the scoring. But I think you gotta look around too and look at some teams that you don't think necessarily will be there.
Like, yeah,
we don't give hearts to goalies, but how can you not look at Connor Hellebuyck right now and look, mm-hmm, at that record and look at that goals against average and that save percentage and go, come on. Like,
they have an award for goalies, though.
I think you can win
the Vezina and you can win the MVP too.
Yes.
Yeah. Was it
Hart?
Theodore? Theodore was the last one. Oh no, Carey Price did it. He won MVP.
Carey Price won a Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, and then was Theodore before him.
Yeah.
So who's your pick? A lot of dancing over there.
Yeah. I'll stick with Kirill the Thrill.
You're going to do Kirill.
After 20.
I think it's 21 fine. Games. It's a good vote, right? Like, Minnesota is overachieving where you thought. I think Colorado, like, I actually am on the other side of choosing this, where it's like LeBron James won 4 MVP trophies over his 22-year, yep, NBA career. To me, that's insane. You know, you're like looking for guys to give it to, and it's like, that's the best guy. Give it to the best guy. To me, Nathan McKinnon this year is taking that Avs team without McKinnon. I just don't know. I don't know what they are. They're 12-10, and they're 7-3 in their last 10, dragging, yeah, them to relevance. Yeah,
he's picked it up.
He's picked it up, and he just, you know, zillion shots out there. He's such a bull.
You can go Makar a little bit too in that conversation.
I like Eichel. Yes. I like Eichel.
You like Eichel?
Oh, yeah?
I do. Yeah. I mean, we had Jesse Granger on, and he talked about, he's a top power play, kills penalties, top center, second in the league in points for a team that's got 30 points already. He's taken his game to another level. I like Eichel. That's my vote.
With his fused neck?
His fused neck, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you have Kirill, you have McKinnon, I have Eichel. Vezina,
you talked about Hellebuyck, and I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I don't think there's any. I think Stolarz is right behind him.
You know, just the games played probably a factor for you there.
That's the distance for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at just save percentage and go around the league, like guys who play with some consistency, it's a lot of guys that you don't hear a ton about. Stolarz, you know, Vemelka, Gustafsson, Dostal, Decord, Dustin Wolf. So it's not exactly a who's who of guys, and you don't have. Shesterkin is a 914. He's always good. Vasilevsky's a 915. He's always in the mix. Saros is back to 915 too. So
how many Vezinas does
I have? Hellebuyck as well.
Does Hellebuyck have? Does he have two Vezinas? Yeah, he's, to me, he is the obvious one that you would say. But I think Stolarz deserves some. If we're doing the finalists, at the quarter mark, he's in the finalists at the quarter mark. No question, but it's got to be Hellebuyck.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just having an unbelievable year, and he's been a huge part of it. Okay.
18-4, the Jets now.
Norris Trophy winner.
You got anything other than Makar? Are you going to do the Hughes thing?
It's one of the two.
Is there even a third choice?
Morrissey?
It's just not the same league to me.
No. I agree with you on that.
But like, Hughes is 11 points behind Makar. Like, I've heard people in Vancouver try to tell me that Hughes, points aside, is better than his Norris Trophy season, that he controls the play like no one else and drives everything for the Canucks. Makar is our generation's Bobby Orr. 11-point lead 20 games into the season is too substantial for me to overlook, particularly on that.
It just comes down to Makar better than Quinn Hughes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he is. And I know that's,
and that's
not
where
be
you'll
here
sway.
Vancouver,
that's yeah. where that's where you're going to.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right? My and argument again.
He's they're the as guy. Valuable to their teams equally.
Yeah. I would agree with that. Like, they're both as cooked without the one guy.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
And there's just no one else that, like, you know, we've talked about, is Morgan Rielly a number one? It's like we're talking about different sports, essentially, with those type of number ones. Those are guys that put you ahead of the pack.
Just looking at Bet365's odds here.
Let's have it.
I mean, it's Makar is minus 280. Quinn Hughes is plus 900 and then falls off a cliff.
Quinn Hughes is plus 900?
Yeah, and then it goes to Josh Morrissey. It's plus 1600.
God, if Makar stubs his toe and misses 2 weeks, it could be Hughes. Yeah, bet Hughes.
Yeah, so there you go. So
the days of, like, Rod Langway winning it.
That was a unique
for blocking shots or defense.
There has been, you know, the conversation of a defensive defenseman award. I just don't know how you would quantify that. You know, like where it's like the most points.
Orlov's plus 20 in Carolina.
It's good.
I just
McNabb's plus 17. 20.
So you just it should just be called the defenseman with the most points award.
Well, that's
wins the Norris.
You know, well, right? Carlson won it the 1 year, the 100 points in San Jose and a terrible Sharks team.
It's like if you got the most points, you win. That's basically what it comes
down
to.
It's gone not to the guy with the most points.
And the last one I'll bring up is the Jack Adams Award.
Imagine saying anything other than Spencer Carberry. Anyone want to try?
Yeah, I'll try. I mean, Scott Arneal's pretty good.
Oh, I'm going to shut my mouth. That's a great pick.
He's pretty good.
I've made this point on this show before, though. They had 110 points last year.
Berube's top three.
20-1 on Bet365 for Craig Berube.
Isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like Minnesota.
I
don't know.
I mean, they've been playing this Sheldon stretch. Keefe. They've been playing this stretch with an AHL forward core.
Where's Keefe?
He is ahead of Craig Berube.
Brind'Amour, honorable mention.
Yeah,
like they, who's their goalie? Like they're right up there, 15-5 Carolina, and they're looking for a goalie.
You know what I think is going to be interesting is New Jersey fought over getting a goalie. And, you know, what's that?
What does it mean they fought?
Well, internally, some of the management didn't agree with some of their analytic assessment of their need for a goalie, I don't think.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I think that's part of the reason it didn't happen. And it was wrong to not do it. They should have got a goalie. My point is Tyler Dello got hired by Carolina now and is not necessarily a goalie guy.
I think they were all the delay on Markstrom was the price.
Yeah.
But I see where you're going with it.
Was it Fitzy talking about the, you know, we're not making the trade?
Yeah, they probably had internal discussions on the sense of urgency on it.
Yes.
And I think the hockey guys won over
the nerds. And then just didn't pull the trigger because of price?
Yeah.
I think Ryan Huska deserves some love.
Yeah.
You know, if they ever found a way to keep being good and sneak into the playoffs.
It's so true that none of us picked Huska because none of us believe it's sustainable.
I know.
Like, if they ended with a 6-14 winning percentage after trading away and punting on the season, he'd be right up there.
But even to get to this point,
like,
they even fought hard in that game last night. They almost came back and won.
Well, that's the thing with early season momentum when you win some games and you get some belief.
Yeah.
Is it's just tough to put those teams away.
It is.
Flames got something good going on. Unlike the Ottawa Senators, who don't have those vibes.
Yeah, they're like, please, God, we can't blow this one. Yeah. Most surprising team for you guys so far? Flames?
No more Washington for me.
Washington,
I still look at their lineup and I go, how?
Yeah, they beat Florida 4-1? Yesterday, right? 4-1. And I'm with you, Kip. You go through this roster and it's like, okay, Ovi's out. Top line has Protas and Strome on it with Wilson. McMichael, Dubois, Radish is their second line. Lapierre, Eller, Mangiapane.
Like, you know who's been real good for them is Chychrun.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah. I think he's come in and he's alleviated a lot of weight off of John Carlson.
Off Rasmus Sandin, their number one.
Carlson.
Oh.
Carlson's been good too. And he's always been sneaky good. You never look at him and go, he's one of the best in the league or one of the flashiest, but that guy has been a rock for them for a very long time.
Look at the theme of teams who overachieve. You know, you're talking Washington, who is very good on the back end with Chychrun, Matt Roy. That I like that Fehervari or whoever you say it. Like, they got Sandin's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. He's not playing a ton.
Advanced stats love him.
But their D is pretty good. You know, Calgary has Rasmus Anderson and Mac Weegar playing big minutes, and that Kevin Ball's worked out for them too. Like, it's a real theme. The Leafs have been good this year with all their forwards gone because they got a good decor this year.
Good goalies.
And you look at the teams who win cups. Vegas' decor, absurdly good.
Yeah.
The Colorado decor they won was so good.
Yeah. You're right.
I might be onto a theme here.
Which
defense wins championships?
Has anyone ever said this before?
Which
breaking news.
Which kind of would scare the Edmonton Oilers fans right now.
Oh, yeah.
It should scare the Jesus out of them.
Quick love for the Buffalo Sabres. Playoffs started today. They'd be in the playoffs.
Lots of love quarter mark. For the Sabres.
Yeah. Ahead of the Bruins.
I would like to see them get active. Trade someone or
11-9-1.
Get better.
Good for them.
If you like this conversation, just pick it up by watching JB tonight on Sportsnet.
Yes, sir.
Luke Gastic and you.
Yep.
Got a score for me, Vancouver and Boston?
Mm-hmm. Vancouver 4-1.
4-1.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. Enjoy your games tonight. Our thanks to Gord Stellick and Luke Gazdick. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. Download us. Watch us on YouTube. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Have a great night, everybody.